it really is about how you carry yourself mentally and emotionally. Physically, our bodies are so capable to do what our mind will want it to do. But during all that, you also have to really take care of yourself.
Welcome to the Spartan Endurance Series on Spartan Up Podcast with host Johnny Waite.
Hey, Spartans, we know you're all about endurance. But if you want to talk about ultra endurance, you want to be around for this next interview with Lisa Batchen-Smith. Lisa has run Badwater, the hottest race on the planet, in Death Valley in the middle of the summer, temperatures up to 130 degrees. It's a 135-mile race. She's run the Badwater Quad, which is actually just shy of 600 miles, the middle of July in Death Valley. So we're going to talk about extreme conditions, how to prepare for them, how to endure them, and you're not going to want to miss this one.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company, pioneering a revolution in craft, non-alcoholic beers. Place your order today at athleticbrewing.com and get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more.
Hey, welcome to another Spartan Up Endurance episode. And this one is absolutely awesome. I've got Lisa Batchen-Smith all the way from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Lisa, there's lots that you're going to talk about today, but I think what I know you best for, or what I think you're best known for, is some of your Badwater exploits, running in Death Valley, the hottest place on earth. Would you agree that that's something that that you're well known for?
I guess I'm well known for that. I'd say yes.
Cool. So just so people understand what this is considered one of the absolute most difficult races in the world. It's running from the lowest point in the continental U.S. at the bottom of Death Valley, all the way to the top of Mount Whitney, which is the highest point in the continental U.S. It's 135 miles with a constant climb. Is that accurate?
You're almost accurate. It's actually, it's minus 282 feet below sea level, which you're right. Yeah. But the race 135 miles later finishes at the portals of Mount Whitney, which is at 500 feet. And the summit of Mount Whitney is the highest point in the continental U.S. at 15.5.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, but you're running, gaining altitude or elevation the entire way in Death Valley. And of course, they decided to make it at the hottest possible time of the year. So what time of the year is that?
July.
July in Death Valley, California.
July in Death Valley, California. It is absolutely hot.
So I've heard legends about literally people's shoes melting off their feet and running on the white painted line at points because that's the only place on the road that you can stand to run. Tell me what it's like to be out there on in that race.
You know, I think your shoes could possibly melt out there. I mean, it just depends on what shoes you're wearing and, you know, the pace that you're going. If the ground is super hot, I've seen people fry eggs on the road out there. That's how hot it is. So my shoes have never melted on the road, but they've certainly worn out really quick.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, you know, your shoes do wear out super quick out there in the heat, but I wouldn't say that they've melted. Maybe they have melted. Just considered they wore out.
Fair enough. That's a good way to put it. So again, just for some scope about what you've accomplished there. So how many times have you run that race? How have you placed? And then also my understanding is you've actually taken it further and run an expanded version of that race. So if you can let me know a bit about that.
I have. I mean, Badwater was my first ultra that I ever did, sort of jumping into ultra marathons after doing the first Eco Challenge. And I really had no idea what I was getting into, but I learned quickly that I loved endurance and I love Death Valley. So the 135 miles in July became something I just yearned to do over and over again. So gratefully, I've been able to do the race 10 times, really 11. I have one unofficial finish. I've won the race twice. And I did a what they call a Badwater double, where you do the an out and back. But in a Badwater double, you actually do summit Mount Whitney. So you have to go up. So that's 146 one way. And then you go back. And I'm still the only woman who's actually done a Badwater quad where I've gone out and back twice.
So, yeah, that's just beyond belief. And, you know, when you talk about endurance and loving ultra running, that's one thing, right? And going and running some beautiful trail where it's cool and there's water to drink. is one thing. How do you prepare for something that extreme? So take the hardest kind of ultra running and then add in absolutely oppressive nonstop heat. How does one prepare for that?
It's really such an emotional and physical preparation, and the mental part of it is such, you know, to me even more, because you can deal with anything if your mind is set, if your mind is ready, if you're willing, and if you move in a way where you feel peaceful about it and you're relaxed. So I went into the Badwater Quad feeling like I was just going to be peaceful, stay peaceful the whole time. And I was really able to do that. And I know that helped me deal with the elements. And I call it the elements. It's more like all the obstacles that can show up besides the heat, the hail, the wind, the, you know, the sandstorms, the, you know, getting onto Mount Whitney where, you know, it's freezing cold. You know, it is cold at 15,000 feet. So you're dealing with one extreme to the other of extreme heat, going to the cold and coming back and going back and forth into it. And it really is about how you carry yourself mentally and emotionally. Physically, our bodies are so capable to do what our mind will want it to do. But during all that, you also have to really take care of yourself.
Well, and when you talk about staying calm for that long, so tell me, when your best time, when you won Badwater, tell me how long that run was. And then tell me how long cumulative the Badwater Quad is.
So you take the Badwater Quad is 146 times four. How many miles do you get?
That's right around just under 600 miles.
Exactly, 594. And then you have to look at like all the vertical, all the elevation that you get going up and back and up and back, because you're at minus 282, and then you're all the way up at 15.5, and then you're going all the way back down. So there's a lot of climbing that happens in doing
and,
that.
And so on the clock, what would be the times for those?
So on the clock, I didn't even wear a watch. I just wanted to move as I was capable. It took about 11, 12 days. I wanted to try to do 10 days. Mostly because I needed to get home, but my stomach went really bad one day and I just needed to lay flat because I was moving at such a slow pace that I couldn't, it wasn't really doing me much good to be out there going 1 mile an hour, really hurting myself more than anything. So I took a day of rest and that really, really did help because my last lap was my fastest.
Wow. And then in terms of your straight up Badwater, not the quad, but straight up Badwater, how long is that run, the 135 miles?
How long has it taken me?
Yeah, time-wise.
36 hours.
So I want to break that down. You know, when you look at that 36 hours, that's 36 hours really nonstop. Like you're moving the whole time in incredible heat. What's the hottest that you remember getting on that run?
The hottest it was ever really was during the quad, not during the race for me, but during the quad, they say, you know, it hit records, you know, they're always saying that. So it's hard to know what, you know, certain parts of the course are hotter than others, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're going into what they call Panamint Springs and you're down in this huge valley of, you just feel like you could almost suffocate in there. It's so hot. You know, there's no breeze or anything. So I'm going to say it's felt like you stick your head in a pizza oven and you're not getting out.
Well, and in terms of actual numbers, like I know our friend Frank Fumich, I was crewing for him in Ram. And as he was riding through Arizona, there was a point where it was 119 degrees on the car thermometer. I know it's got a lot hotter than that, even at Badwater. So well into the 120s, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to say 128, 130. I mean, I think that it's really tough to just look at a car and see what the car says.
Yeah.
Because when you're physically out on the road and you're, you know, the blacktop is super hot and it's just projecting up to your body, it, you know, it feels a whole lot hotter than that.
So let's say, 130 plus the ambient temperature of the black asphalt coming up. How does a person stay hydrated? How does a person not collapse? Because like you say, mentally, obviously you have to be incredibly strong to put yourself into that kind of discomfort. But there's also the element of you literally could melt down, right? Like how do you deal with that?
It's a constant hydration, like sipping every 2 minutes, take a sip, like what you're doing right now.
Absolutely.
So it's a constant reminder. It's just something, if you're not staying hydrated, you're not going to continue. And I have melted down out there. There's times sure. I haven't finished the race because I have melted down, so it's just a constant staying hydrated, keeping electrolytes in. And, it gets really challenging to do that. That's why during the race or during the quad, there's no way you could do it alone. There's just no way you could do it alone. So your crew is actually trying to help you stay on track, drink, Lisa, drink, and if you're not listening or you're not doing what you know is needed, you are going to fall apart and not get to the end.
So when you describe that you've been out there and you have to get into a place of peace where you have to get to where you're okay with whatever happens. I love to describe it as obstacles, that when you're out there for that long, the elements become obstacles. And you know that I work with Spartan Racing. We're in the business of obstacle racing, and we go and we build obstacles to make somebody's race more difficult. You do races, Eco Challenge, Badwater, others, that they're so long and there are so many variables that are outside of your control that it's essentially an obstacle race anyway, because all these things that when you leave the start line, you don't know what the weather's gonna be like. You don't know how hot it's gonna get. You don't know what's gonna roll through. Or you don't know that you're going to go through your shoes twice as fast as you expected to do the first time.
Yes, like that. It's very true.
So how do you stay calm? And then the second part of that question is, how has that translated into the rest of your life? The experiences you've had out there, how does that then help you to frame other situations in your life?
Well, I think over the years of starting, my first Badwater, I'll just use that as an example. I was 35 and now I'm 60. And I feel like every time I did it, I learned something new. Or anytime I've done anything, but being out in the cold, being anywhere, I've learned something. And every time you learn, even from failure, you learn, you carry on that wisdom with you. And you hope that each time you do it, you want to do it differently. I feel like that's why we yearn to go back and do the same thing over again. Why would I want to keep going back again? Because I want to try to do it different. Because I want to go back and keep learning. And really that's sort of how life rolls. When I did the quad, I knew it was going to be the greatest challenge of my life as far as an athlete. I didn't want to do it as part of the race. I wanted to do it, like my own project. I call it a project or a journey because I tried to do it one time, part of the race, and there's such a different feeling when you're racing. When you're racing, there's other people ahead of you, and oh my God, I gotta go get them. And there's a very different feeling when you're in your own space doing your own project at your own time. And I went into the quad saying, I am the peaceful warrior. Because that's where I had gotten in life, is just being peaceful and feeling grateful and feeling joyous and not feeling like I have to do Badwater to go beat somebody, or I have to go to Badwater, and get first. I have to go to Badwater or anywhere and make a certain time. So that was really a transformation for me, of coming from having to be looking at the watch all the time and racing people and going for numbers, to saying, I'm going to move as peacefully as I can, as quiet as I can, and do the best I can. Yeah. It absolutely worked. It absolutely worked. That's really a bit was the transformation for me as an athlete. I love doing my own projects and just being in my own space of not feeling that I have to be competitive, which is a big change for people as athletes.
Oh, sure. Well, and it's amazing though how the people who are just striving so hard to be competitive and it's just what consumes them, quite often that inhibits their performance, you know, as opposed to doing something for the absolute joy of it and freeing yourself up. And I actually want to explore that a bit further in a subsequent conversation. I want to mention about 2 years ago, we just talked off camera that about 2 years ago, I was able to come out and visit you, which was really awesome, and see your amazing place out there and meet your daughters and your husband. And you had just had an injury or a surgery that you were recovering from. Where are you at on that journey right now?
Well, it's been 2 years and I don't notice my knee anymore. I came to an acceptance that I may never run again. I mean, I got to that place of like, okay, you know, what if, but I feel like I'm back to being as strong as I was before. And it's really because that's what I want to be. I'd rather be strong than fast. And, you know, my knee doesn't hurt at all. I don't that's even great. Notice it. And it's kind of a miracle.
I remember reading when you first started going out and you were posting, you know, this person who'd run this 596-mile race or project, as you describe it, posting, I ran a mile today or I walked a mile today. And just, you know, the idea that there is as much to celebrate in that in the starting over. So it's really great to hear that it's come together. We've talked a lot about the hot temperatures and just the absolutely mind-boggling temperatures of Badwater. But you live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Jackson, Wyoming. What's it like when you go out your door and run this week?
Well, when I went out this morning, it was -6 degrees. So it was pretty cold. Really cold out there. You know, I don't mind the cold, but the older I get, the harder it gets to get out there. I always wanted to do Arrowhead 135. It just never has worked out. So yeah. My own thing, you know, out here, I've pulled a tire 100 miles in the middle of the winter. You know, because you've got to be creative. Sometimes it's not always about a race, but sure. I cannot make myself get on a treadmill. You know, make myself get on a treadmill. I'm a big outdoor person. So
you'd rather be outside -20 than on a treadmill in your living room.
Absolutely. Even in the pitch dark, I would much rather do that. So
I love the expression that I'd heard, there's no bad weather, just bad gear. And our mutual friend Ray Zahav is a big proponent of that for sure. So
for sure. Uh-huh. Yep. Ray is amazing. He's taught me a lot and I think we've taught each other a lot. And I really so love watching what he's doing.
Yeah, and just that whole idea of the extremes and doing it joyfully. And I think that's really what the biggest thing I'm taking from this, and I always, you know, these are shorter segments where we're really looking for that nugget. And I think the nugget that I'm getting from this conversation is that any endurance involves a bit of suffering, but when you're taking on ultra endurance and ultra extreme conditions, the only way you're going to be able to do that and be successful at it, especially over a long period of time, go back and do Badwater 10 times, for example, is to be able to do it from a place of peace and joy and acceptance and embracing it rather than grinding your way through it. Is that what you'd say is a good summary of this?
I would say that's a great summary. I mean, it's really does come down to being joyful and, you know, and it's not easy. It's not easy, but we don't sign up to do these things because we're looking for easy. We're looking for challenge. And when you're challenged, you're gaining wisdom all the time. And obstacles are training. Obstacle races, you're training and you're training to be a warrior, right? And you're training to gain wisdom. Yep. The obstacles that are put in your way during doing something such as Badwater, I mean, you don't know what they're going to be. If you're doing an obstacle race, you know what they're going to be. I love going into the unknown. I love to climb a mountain and look to the right and see something I've never seen. And don't, you know, you have to experience it as you're doing it, as it's coming to you. And that's a beautiful part of our journey.
Thank you. Well, I'm so glad you said that. And I want to thank you also for being someone who really inspires people and that they can aspire to, because you look at the events that we put on and, you know, the distances and they're pretty hard, extreme events. And yet, you know, then you talk to somebody who ran a 200 mile race, and you talk to somebody like yourself who's run a, you know, the Badwater quad, and there's always more we can do. And I think that's really exciting. You know, anyone who thought they'd seen it all has now heard probably a whole other level as far as what people can do. And it gives them something to look forward to. So, hey, I also, I want to have you back because I want to talk about another aspect of what's allowed you to do things like this for such a long period of time, and how you help other people do that as well. So we're going to loop back around on that one. Okay.
You got it.
Awesome. Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company, pioneering a revolution in craft non-alcoholic beers. Place your order today at athleticbrewing.com and get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more.